This is the Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast, covering everything from technology and gaming
to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to start off by saying, what is the word propaganda and what does it mean to you? To me personally, I think of politics. However, there is more to propaganda than meets the eye. Author and consultant Leslie Shore joins me to explain what is propaganda and how it's involved in our everyday life, and we may not even know it. Thank you for joining me, Leslie.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Could you tell me a little bit about your background on how propaganda, like, how does that work? Like, how did you get into this?
Well, my background is in communications. That's what my master's is in. And I wrote a book called Listen to Succeed, which is about listening and how we all think we can do it if we can hear, but there are other things, lots of things that are involved to become an effective listener. And one of the reasons that propaganda kind of came across my board was because I was noticing, especially in this particular political season, that propaganda by its nature does not allow for people who actually are listening to listen with the full extent of their brain, because propaganda does not want you to critically think. It wants you to react emotionally. And so that's how I kind of got to this particular point in dealing with communications. This is an area that is increasingly more apparent, and not just in politics.
You said that it was emotional. How is propaganda emotional?
Because propaganda, by its nature, uses a number of tactics that ping your emotion. So let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about name calling.
Okay.
And when people use name calling, no matter what it is, when they use even the word they to describe a different type of people and not actually use the name of that people, the they is separating them and quote-unquote us. And that is an emotional separation. That is not a critical thinking separation. And you can use a kind of a simple example of, we can't approve of this recycling thing. It was thought up of by a bunch of hippie communist weirdos. Well, that's not critical thinking. That's using name-calling to make a point so that whatever it is you're talking about, they'll listen to you and actually not pay any attention to the substantive issue at hand.
That kind of sounds like almost like a conspiracy theorist use. Like, I noticed that because my cousin, he likes to watch this stuff on YouTube, and they like to use the word, and I just use they, false flag. And, you know, they use all these weird big terms. And is that considered propaganda?
And what was the word that you said that they were using?
It's like when some a false flag. And I've never heard of it before. And it kind of hit me because my cousin, he said that back in the day. See, this is information he gets from like weird conspiracy theorists. So I don't even know it's true. I have to look it up myself. But his take on false flag is when a group of people used to fly, ride in and take over a village, they would do it under, you know, let's say country A's flag. And it turned out that it wasn't country A. They just were under a false flag, and they just wanted to start a war to start a war.
Ah, got it.
Right.
Got it. Well, here's an interesting thing. It isn't really a false flag. It is what I would consider something that is used in order to take your attention off of what the truth really is. And maybe to an extent, maybe it is a false flag. I think philosophically, they're probably pretty well joined. But I think when we try to obfuscate reality by calling people names or coming in under a different reason than the true reason. That is part of what propaganda can do when it's actually put into action.
All right. See, this is where I get kind of confused, because for me, when I hear propaganda, and I think it's just one of those words where it's you have to know the idea of it to fully understand it. And I don't think I grasp it just yet, because for me, propaganda is just like, oh, they're just lying to me. It's just like a manipulation. But it's kind of deeper than that. So could you give me an example of like what propaganda would look like?
Okay. So first of all, yes, propaganda absolutely is a manipulation. You're dead on correct as far as that is concerned. And you are again right saying that it's deeper than that. It's why. Why is someone using propaganda instead of really just talking things out? We've been using propaganda for many, 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 many years. And it has not been the type of, let's put it this way. When we're talking about Senator Joseph McCarthy back in the 50s, he was using propaganda of the communists being in the United States government. And he made his name on that. He also fell on his sword with that. But he used all of the name-calling and the bad analogies and picking his facts to actually bolster what he was saying in his propaganda. By its nature, most propaganda is negative and somewhat insidious, because it is taking the focus off of what the real issues and questions and problems are.
It sounds like some real art of war, but with words, right? Because that's kind of crazy to try to deflect attention from what you're doing over here to over there. Are there any real key words besides it just being negative? I mean, like, is there like, when I hear this specific word or this phrase, I know that this is kind of fishy and I should look into it.
Well, there are a couple of things. One is when people are using generalities. You people, we all, we all believe this, you people feel that. When you hear that, it's a good idea to have, your critical thinking mind engage to see whether or not this generality is something that is really true or not. And I would say also one of the things that it's not specific words, but it is one of the ones that I love and hate in terms of propaganda is when you use someone who is famous, not for being brilliant or a scientist or a politician or a statesman or whatever, but they're famous in another venue. So, for example, Brad Pitt was seen as at a sustainable energy rally, so I should support it too.
Right.
I mean, what does Brad Pitt have to do with whether or not you should support sustainable energy? It needs to stand on its own two feet, and someone famous should not be the reason that you are doing something. So when those things start to come up and you're hearing those things, that's when the brain needs to get into gear and look at, what am I really listening to, and is there any substance there?
Okay, I think I have one. I just thought of it. The Heart Association.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, the Heart Association. Okay, they. I know that like food and junk food and, you know, any kind of person or distributor that makes something, they can actually pay the Heart Association to put their logo on their box. Is that propaganda?
Like, it's to me. It certainly is, and the Heart Association should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, I think I can't remember if it was the Heart Association or if it was something similar to the Heart Association in Canada, but I do know that you can pay them to put their logo on, like, your toothpaste or, you know, your cereal box, you know, and it's...
I think what you're talking about, honestly, is that there's an ethical consideration to this, and obviously... there is, and I'm glad you brought it up. because what you just talked about is completely unethical, not only on its face, but all the way down into the depth. And I think one of the things that we're talking about in terms of the propaganda that is out there, and not just necessarily in politics, but in other places where the intent is to deceive, and that is an unethical way of handling communication, even though for someone that may, they may feel that it's a means to an end, but it's totally unethical. And that, I believe, is where you're coming from, that it's deeper than what it seems on its face.
Yeah, because when you think of propaganda, you know, the first thing that pops in my head is politics. I don't think of anything else. But after you started saying, like, oh, it's kind of like a misdirect. Okay, I started thinking, what other misdirects are there? And I think the best one is probably cigarettes. Back in the day, you know, they said 9 out of 10 doctors smoke Camel cigarettes, you know. And would that be considered propaganda, where the cigarette companies would sit there and say, hey, we want to make sure everybody thinks it's safe, when it's really, we have evidence and research that says it gives cancer? I mean, would that be considered propaganda, where they throw so much into the mix that everybody's half and half on it?
I think it would be considered propaganda in a couple of ways. One, really? 9 out of 10 doctors smoke Camels or whatever? How about what the reality is? 9 out of 10 doctors that smoke this particular brand. And what makes it propaganda then at that point is the, to me, that is cherry picking. It's actually putting out a statistic that on its face sounds good, but when you look behind the veil or behind the Wizard of Oz curtain, there really is nothing there. And to me, that does put it in propaganda, because it's using that type of communication to get your point and perspective across, done deliberately, unethically. So I think that's the other part of propaganda, is the lack of ethics that may be involved in it.
You know, we talked about a lot of different types of propaganda that kind of touched on it, and it put its toes in the pool, but it didn't really sink into it. Is there a reason why? I mean, are there different levels of propaganda?
Well, I think there are. I think that when we were in high school, I'm a boomer, so that goes back away. we actually had civics class, and we were actually taught about what propaganda was and how it was used, and at the time, who had been using it. And I don't think it is taught in the schools today. So I'm not sure that that we as a country are as aware of the different levels of propaganda. I think, to your point about whether or not this particular cereal is good for you, who says it's okay, is it organic, is it this, is it that? There are certain pieces of propaganda that's involved in that, and that's marketing. I mean, that's truly what marketing is about, is directing you towards this particular thing because it's so good and so right for you, and not allowing your focus to come off of that. So that's what I would consider low-level propaganda. But then I think we get to higher level propaganda when someone is truly trying to change your perspective or your mind or your ethics based on what it is that they are saying, knowing full well that what it is that they are saying does not have the full substance of facts, statistics, and substance behind it.
You know, I think of, who was that? It was a guy that Gawker kind of forced him to come out, and then he backed up Hulk Hogan, his trial, and gave him money so he can take Gawker down. And nobody knew this until after everything was said and done. And it was like, this guy, it was almost like super villainy-esque And I'm wondering, would that be considered kind of propaganda-ish? Like, this is what you need to look out for. You see all this information about the trial that happened with Hulk Hogan. And then it turns out that, oh my God, it was really a vendetta by this guy who was much richer. And he just wanted to bring Gawker down. And that's what happened.
Right. I'm not sure whether that's really truly propaganda. What it is our need as a consumer of media to keep our eyes open for what the perspective of that particular media report is, what paper it's in, what TV show it's on, what radio show it's coming from, and just use that understanding and awareness as part of your filter in terms of your critical thinking. I mean, we all talk about if you read it in the National Enquirer, it must be true type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm not sure that that's the case. And so one of the things that I think is really important as consumers of all this media is that we get our news and our understanding from more than one source, so that we're not always listening or watching people of exactly the same mindset as our own, because that doesn't even give us a chance to see it from a different perspective or learn something new that might actually enrich our understanding of the subject.
That is really good advice, because that's so true. My mother used to always tell me that, you know, you have to, if there's three sides to every story. There's his story, her story, and the truth. So if you only listen to one side, you won't get the whole picture. But you have to listen to both to formulate your own opinion. And I think a lot of people don't do that.
You know, it takes courage to do that. It really takes courage to not have an ego so large that it can't be pushed aside, to let something different come in and let it really cogitate in your brain. It takes courage to allow yourself to think that there are different ways of looking at things and that other people truly can have something to teach us. And your mom was totally wise in what she's saying. Absolutely.
Well, I think she gets some off Hallmark greeting cards, but, you know, I don't want to call her out on it.
Hey, wherever it came from, it's awesome.
But, you know, it's hard for me because it's when we started talking about this propaganda stuff, I didn't really try to correlate it with anything until it was like, oh, you started putting up examples. And I was like, let me think of one. Where can a person start? Like, where can they start listening small so that eventually it's like something that will be second nature?
Well, I think, you know, our bodies are really good indicators of what's going on. And the reason I say that is because when you're listening to someone and your brain goes kind of, your face scrunches up, your head tilts to the side, and you're going, huh? And there's actually a visceral body language reaction to what you're listening to. That is a wonderful indicator that there is something in what you just listened to, what you just heard, that is hitting you kind of funny. And it bears research, or it bears looking into. And I truly believe, just like body language doesn't lie when you're speaking to someone else,
mm-hmm.
or when you're listening to someone else, your body language doesn't lie when you're reacting to something that you are listening to. And if you listen to your body's reaction, you know exactly what you are feeling kind of uncomfortable with in terms of what has just been said. So that's the first thing I would check for. And the second thing I would check for is the use of absolute, always, never. Those kind of absolutes, when they are used, especially in politics, whether or healthcare or you name it, whatever business you're in, when an absolute is used, it is to me an indicator that there is something further down that there's looking at. So that's the second thing I would look for. And the third thing I would look for is such generalities that are being said but aren't being backed up by any specifics. That should also be an indicator that truly propaganda and not an actual situation of educating the people that are being spoken to.
All right. That is really helpful. I like those. I know the number two with the always, never, absolute stuff, that's always hit me. Because I was taught in grammar school that most of the times those are lies.
Because, that's so true.
Because you can't have every single person agree on one thing. Not everybody. Right. You know, it's a little bit too much. Unless we're talking about like an object, in which case they're all blue. But I can't say that everybody or all these people agree with me. That's just, you know, that's kind of insane. So I already knew that one. But the other ones are really great. And I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about this stuff.
Well, it's really my pleasure. It's a fun topic to talk about.
For more information about Leslie Shore, visit listentosucceed.com. That's listentosucceed.com. You can also like Leslie on Facebook at Listen to Succeed. That's all one word.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait to hear more?
Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com.
That's masonverapayne.com.
Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.